This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, July 24th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. USDAers slam reorg plans. Some tariffs expire, more on the way. And diesel price spike costs farmers big this spring, a recent report suggests. Current and former USDA employees are bashing the department's reorganization plan, saying it will lead to massive departures, loss of expertise, and diminished services. On a call including reporters last night, employees past and present said the most personnel directed to relocate would not do so, that according to surveys conducted by their unions. A former 32-year Foreign Agriculture Service employee, Liliana Batchelder, said in a recent survey shows only 3.8% of the approximately 300 union members at FAS would relocate to Kansas City. Charisse Vaughn, a 30-year financial and business loan specialist at USDA Rural Development, said nearly two-thirds of 45 people in the Rural Utility Service and Rural Business Cooperative Service who received notices to relocate from Washington, D.C. to Dallas expect to be pushed out of their jobs. This isn't about 45 names on a spreadsheet in Washington. It's about whether the next rural town waiting on clean water gets it in time, she said. It's about whether the next small business owner in a town with no other lender gets a chance at all. We built these things once. We're asking to be allowed to keep building them. We have successfully been doing this exact job from our current duty stations for years, Vaughn said. Relocating us hundreds of miles away doesn't make the work better. It just adds moving costs, resignations, and lost expertise. That's not good government. That's a waste of taxpayer dollars to solve a problem that does not exist. Other speakers addressed plans to relocate employees at the Economic Research Service, Forest Service, National Institute of Food and Agriculture, and the Food and Nutrition Administration to new offices. Kevin Shea, who led the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, said the current leadership at USDA, quote, claim they're relocating employees to be closer to the farmers. Of course, 90% of USDA employees already work somewhere other than the D.C. area, and most of the employees involved in this latest round of proposed cuts do not work directly with farmers, ranchers, or others. They provide indispensable national coordination, oversight, support, and analytical functions. A lawsuit challenging the reorganization is proceeding in federal court in California, with a hearing on a preliminary injunction set for September. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative yesterday finalized its approximately four-month-long investigation into 60 countries for alleged forced labor violations. As a result of the investigations, the nations will face levies ranging from 10 to 12.5%. The action will cover 99% of all U.S. imports, that according to a USTR fact sheet. Certain products will be exempt from the levies, including articles already subject to the tariffs under Section 232, raw materials that cannot be obtained domestically, and certain agriculture products, including bovine products, coffee, and some nuts and fruits, among others. Today's action will begin to correct what is both a human rights abuse and a distortive trade practice to improve the welfare of workers everywhere. I am encouraged by the trading partners who have moved quickly to adopt forced labor import prohibitions and look forward to ensuring their effective enforcement. That's the word of U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer in a statement. The announcement came in the final hours before President Donald Trump's global 10% tariffs expired Friday. The administration imposed the tariff using Section 122 under a 1974 trade law, the first time in history that the authority has been used. Section 122 allows the president to impose levies of up to 15% for 150 days. After that 150-day period, Congress has to act to extend the tariffs. Congress has taken no steps to maintain the levies. You can read more news now at agripulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. A new report from Democrats on Congress Joint Economic Committee suggests higher diesel prices added $1.4 billion, or 63%, to what U.S. farmers spent to fuel this year's planting of major crops compared to last year. The report estimates that a peak diesel price during the 2026 planting season, the average farmer spent $1,538 more to refill a typical 750-gallon on-site fuel tank than at the peak of the 2025 season. It also suggests they spent $205 more to fill up a 100-gallon grain truck and $250 more to fill up a 122-gallon tractor. In terms of states, Illinois led the nation with a $163.2 million increase in planting diesel costs from 2025 to 2026, followed by Iowa at $151.1 million, Minnesota at $101.7 million, Nebraska at $99.9 million, and North Dakota at $88.6 million. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative yesterday unveiled its FY 2027 tariff rate quota allocation for imported raw cane sugar, refined sugar, and sugar-containing products under the World Trade Organization agreement. The TRQ for raw cane sugar is 1,117,195 metric tons raw value, the minimum amount allowable under the agreement. USTR said of that amount, it will divvy out a little more than 1 million MTRV among nearly 40 countries, including the world's top sugar producers, Brazil and India. Brazil produces 24% of the world's sugar, followed by India at 16%, that according to USDA. U.S. Trade Representative's office said it will allocate the remaining 55,993 MTRV before October 1. Senate Agriculture Committee member Peter Welch spoke with reporters yesterday about his effort to, quote, cut red tape when it comes to getting emergency disaster funds to communities from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Welch introduced the Disaster Aid Act and the Rural Recovery Act over a year ago after communities in his home state were hit by historic floods in both 2023 and 24. There's an enormous amount of bureaucracy that's around essentially making certain that no money is misspent, Welch said, noting that individual communities are not responsible for allocating the disaster funds. Welch said his bill would provide communities with more responsibility over the emergency funds, providing an incentive to deploy the money to those in need. He also discussed the farm aid proposals. The House on Wednesday passed a $95 billion concurrent resolution known as Reconciliation 3.0 that would provide farmers with up to $12 billion in assistance. President Trump also submitted a supplemental proposal for about $11 billion in farm aid. I think there's a crisis, a real crisis in agriculture, and that's number one. So they do need help. But it's not just aid because of some of these things have been a result of tariffs, of policies that the president has followed. So the tariffs have destroyed the markets for a lot of Midwestern corn and soybeans, destroyed the market, Welch said. The Agriculture Department is making $35 million available for partnerships to combat feral swine, an invasive species that causes billions of dollars in damage to agriculture annually. Partners who are chosen to participate in the Feral Swine Eradication and Control Pilot Program will help landowners in restoration and on-farm trapping efforts and also provide training. The opportunity is part of a $105 million investment for the pilot program and the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and Animal Plant Health Inspection Service working together to target feral swine. A paper published last year in Pest Management Science estimated damage to agriculture from feral swine at least $3.2 billion, including about $1.06 billion to grain crops alone, which includes direct damage to crops, property damage, and control costs. Here's today's final word. Unfortunately, there's some folks that have decided that it's good for their agenda, it's good for politics, to go out and tie cancer rates directly to farming practices, to which I would say, let's not politicize this and let's not jump to conclusion, but let's also be willing to do that research and do the studies and understand and then take action if we do find things that are negatively impacting health. That's the word of Iowa Agriculture Secretary Mike Nag on rising cancer rates in Iowa, which ranks second in the nation for cancer incidence. The issue has become a focal point in Iowa during this year's election cycle, including the Ag Secretary race between Nag, a Republican, and Democrat Chris Jones, a water quality researcher and critic of agricultural runoff. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, July 24th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Allen.